Welcome to Career Tools. This week, resume help, a job hopping resume. The questions this cast answers are, what do I do if I have lots of jobs under 2 years duration on my resume? How can I fix my job hopping resume? And should I change my resume? They say a hiring manager makes up his mind as to whether or not you're a good candidate in 7 seconds. In case that's true, I don't believe it is, but in case it's true, you need to know how to impress in those first 7 seconds. We know how, and we'll share it with you. Go to managertools.com/interview. That's managertools.com/interview. Okay, Sarah, we see lots of advice from career experts and HR people not to job hop. So that is not to have lots of jobs on your resume which are less than 2 years, because 2 years is a sort of accepted length of time that you need to be at a job to have done a worthwhile job. And if you do move frequently, you'll be left with what we call a job hopping resume, meaning it has lots of jobs that you've hopped between. Employers read that as a lack of ability to see things through. They think about the value of someone who doesn't stay very long. So it takes a while for you to warm up, to ramp up to being useful. Usually when someone's going to leave, there's a couple of months at the end where they're not as useful as they could be. And so if you've only been there, say, a year, they maybe only got 8 months of good work out of you. And so if you've done that more than once, the employer then becomes concerned that you're going to do that for them too, and they're only going to get 8 months of a year out of you, and then they're going to have to refill the position, which is really expensive for employers.
And how many times have we heard from individuals, oh, I've only been here for like 6 months. I'm still new.
Yeah. I've been here 8 years. I'm still new. There's still stuff I'm learning. Those resumes make you less employable. But if you've had a career like that and you already have a job hopping resume, you can't go back in the past and fix it. You can't go and stay longer at some of those jobs. So in this class, we're going to talk about what you do with that resume. So we're going to cover, don't change your resume, bolster your interviewing skills, have an explanation, and work your network.
All right. So number one, don't change your resume. We see a lot of advice to just kind of fudge your resume, right? Make some tweaks. An example of this would be changing the dates on your resume, right? So it doesn't tell you the months, but strictly the years. So I worked there from 2015 to 2016. Now that job might have lasted from December of 2015 to January of 2016. So that's 1 month. Or from January 2015 to December 2016, which now turns it into 24 months.
There's a big difference there.
Huge difference. And candidates will tell you that they expect hiring managers to read the best explanation into what they've written. But hiring managers are smarter and more cynical than that. And they know that years is only a way of fudging that resume.
Yeah. And there's lots of accounts of people who've done this and got great jobs. They've moved every 18 months and they've gone up the ladder and they've always been paid more. But there's also accounts of people who get away with bank robberies, but it doesn't mean it's the right thing to do. You know, you may not be found out, but there are consequences if you are found out.
And you have to work with these people for how many years? It's going to be hard to keep up that secret.
Yeah, exactly.
It can be hard to remember that. So at a minimum, you'll be fired for lying to your company, right? And if that seems harsh, think of it this way. If you've been caught lying once, your manager and the company, they no longer know whether or not they can trust you.
About anything.
About anything. You might be hiding uncompleted work. You might be embezzling funds. Whatever your explanation, the one that you give for your resume being incorrect, or at least interpretable in many ways, is automatically suspect.
Yeah, it doesn't matter what you say. Once you've lied,
right,
you can't be trusted about anything again.
Absolutely. Wasn't that, it's probably not recently, I've got a terrible memory, but that individual high level in Walmart had made some edits to their resume And when they were found out, job is over.
Yeah. And in that higher level and that much publicity, you're not going to get another job again. This is a really serious thing that can happen if you've lied on your resume. People think it's like, oh, it's just, you know, I'm just fudging it a little. Nobody will ever know. The consequences are really serious.
Yeah, huge.
And depending on the environment you're in, a bad reference that you're given might hurt you more or less. So when we say this, people say, oh, companies only get confirmation of dates now anyway, won't matter. And that's true. But the grapevine is used much more than you think. People, managers talk to each other in different companies much more than you think. And the world is much smaller than most of you think. So an example, we recently had a manager write to us who just joined a new team. And he said to his one of his new team members, hey, you should be listening to that manager tools thing. And she said, oh, I've been listening for 5 years. And there's 330 million people in the US and only 2 million listen to manager tools each week. So what's the odds that two people would be in the same team coincidentally? It's got to be quite high odds.
It's a small world.
It is. My mother belongs to a group of about 60 women in an institute in the UK. And three of the women have children who live in San Antonio, Texas. It's bizarre. We all live within 5 miles of each other. But it's the world is way smaller than you think it is. And that rumor of, or that truth, really, of you being fired because you've lied, that will travel.
It absolutely will. So your network, it works to your advantage when you're using it honestly, obviously. It works to your disadvantage when something negative happens. And maybe there's only like a 20% chance of being found out. Honestly, it really doesn't matter. It's unethical to lie or misinterpret yourself on your resume, and career tools professionals just don't do that.
Yeah, we're never going to tell you to lie about anything. So we're not going to change your resume. Job hopping, if you've done it in the past and it's making it difficult to find a job now, the solution is not to change your resume. So one of the solutions is to have better interviewing skills. So if a hiring manager brings you in to interview, despite the fact that you have a job-hopping resume, you start the interview in a hole. If you imagine a graph and time is going left to right, and so the beginning of your interview is at the where the axes cross and the hour or however long you have to interview goes across to the right, and then you have the vertical axis, and that's kind of how well you're doing, a measure of how well you're doing. So if you have a job hopping resume or any other negative, it could be all sorts of things on a resume that give you a negative, you effectively start at like minus 10. So at zero, when you've just walked into the interview, you're at minus 10. Now, a candidate without a problem starts at zero. So they're already 10 points ahead of you. And so what you have to do is first dig yourself out of the hole in order to get to zero, and then you have to be better than all of the other candidates or better than the standard. So you really have to work hard at being good at interviewing. Now, there's a difference between being good at interviewing and being good at the job, and you need to be both. But being an interviewee is really a skill set in itself, and it's a skill set that most people are really bad at. And so if you're at negative 10, you're going to have to get really good at interviewing.
Absolutely. And you're going to have to practice way more than other people do. And we talk about this in our interviewing series. Practice, practice, practice. You have to clearly understand the question and know what the question is really asking you. So you have to think beyond just the question itself. So for example, a question like, tell me about a time when you've had to persuade someone to your way of thinking. Now, that is not asking you just to describe the situation where you did that activity, but also to describe the thought process and the decisions you made in order to achieve the desired outcome. And there are hundreds of books of interview questions you can practice with. The internet is a wealth of places to look for those questions. You can read them all. You can practice them. Keep in mind, too, a lot of times when you're in an interview, the interviewer is going to ask you the bad questions.
Oh, yes.
Right? Like, Just the stupid question. Like, what is your weakness? Right? We have got podcasts. Listen to how to answer it. Because you cannot count on the fact that they're going to use good behavioral interviewing questions. You got to practice for everything.
We saw an article recently, a couple of people have sent us about the stupidity of the question, tell me about your weaknesses. But just because it's a stupid question, just because it's not a good question, right, which differentiates between candidates, it's a silly question because you know people are going to lie, right? There's no point in asking a question where you're not going to get good information because you only have 60 minutes and you've just wasted five on something that you're not going to get good information from. But just because it's a silly question doesn't mean that people aren't going to ask it. And if they're going to ask it, you need to have an answer.
Absolutely. You need to have great examples and you have to be able to describe them in a concise and professional manner. Like Wendy said, it's taking up that valuable time. So you need to get through those questions. So you can't just be doing this off the top of your head in an interview, right? Hope or winging it isn't a process. Really not. So try it now.
As Mark says, hope is not a method.
Right, hope is not a method. You cannot cross your fingers and expect to get this job. So try it now. Try answering out loud the question that we just asked. So tell me about a time when you've had to persuade someone to your way of thinking. You might be able to answer this in your head, and that's great. But if you really tried to answer that same question out loud, you're going to stumble. You're going to falter. How many times have you gone through that mental conversation in your head and you've rehearsed it? And when you actually said it, you're like, wow, I had this great mental speech worked out. Why did I say that? That was not at all what was in my head.
Yeah. Right?
Everyone does it. So you're going to have to practice your answers.
Yes. And there's way more about interviewing than we can go into here. There's a bunch of free podcasts. We also have the interviewing series. But just remember that you have to be better than everybody else if you started a negative number on that graph. So the next one is have an explanation, which is kind of misleading because we don't mean have an explanation. We mean have the explanation.
Right.
What we mean is, if somebody's going to say, hey, you had four jobs and you only lasted a year at each of them, what was going on? You need to have an answer for that. But the answer has to be truthful,
yeah,
or truthfully persuasive. So you could say, you know, I was going through a spell where I really couldn't settle. My last job, I was there for 2 years and I feel like I am able to make better choices around jobs now and find ones that fit me better. And that has to be the truthful answer because,
right,
you have to be able to do it without lying, because lying gives all sorts of body language that you are lying. People can tell that you're lying. They probably can't even tell you how they know because the signs are so subtle, but they can tell you if you're lying. So you need to have a rational explanation. It has to be based in the truth. It has to be truthful, but you want to make it persuasive. So you want to be able to make it that was in the past, or it was an explanation according to circumstance. So, for example, reasons that you might have short jobs on your resume: you were laid off, you were promised an opportunity and that didn't work out, the job or the culture wasn't the same as you thought from the initial interviews and it wasn't somewhere where you felt comfortable working, you had a better opportunity elsewhere. Now, that one's a bit tricky because it implies that you'll leave anytime you're offered something better. So a hiring manager might not see that in a positive light. You had to move or leave for family reasons. The company moved and changed your commute or your circumstances around how you got to work or the time that it took. There were structural or personnel changes that made the job different to that which it had been. And maybe you left and you regret it. That's also a good explanation for why you left a job.
Right. Your explanation, it won't necessarily be pretty, right? So Me, for example, I don't have a job hopping resume, but I have got that window of 3 months where I didn't have a job. So when I was asked about it, when I was interviewing with Mark, he asked me about it. My answer is, I followed a boy Okay. Right?
Yeah, that's not pretty.
That's a terrible reason. But there was no use me hiding it. I didn't have a job for 3 months. And I knew in this interview, I wanted to work here for years, like for the rest of my life. So hiding it at this point, not beneficial. It was not to my benefit to lie.
Yeah. And the same thing, I got fired. And people ask, why did you get fired? Well, because I made a bunch of mistakes and I was told if I made another one, I would get fired. It's not a pretty answer, but it's the truth. And right. I do everything now that I can not to make the same kind of mistakes and not to make them over and over again. It doesn't show me in a good light, but the truth is better than a lie that does show me in a good light.
Right. And honestly, if you go through that process and you're willing to say something like that, I got fired or whatever it may be, that tells the hiring manager, wow, that wasn't pretty, but they're an honest person.
Yes, it does. And it's far less stressful and far less alarming than you think it's going to be. Really isn't. It really turns out to not be a big deal. It's interesting. So the list we gave you, that's not a list of excuses. It's a list of reasons why someone might want to move jobs not long after getting the job. All of the things that we listed can happen frequently, and they could happen to you 2 or 3 times in a row. So a job hopping resume isn't necessarily your fault. And if you can get that over to the hiring manager, or it could be your fault and you regret it. And if you can get that over to the hiring manager, you've climbed the slope into positive territory on that graph. So if you did do something stupid, I did something stupid and I got fired, and I'm okay with saying that, and 9 times out of 10, the hiring managers go, oh, okay, moving on.
Fair enough, moving on. Exactly. Exactly. So no lying, of course. If it's your fault and you regret your previous actions,
which we
say
hope
so.
You do.
Which we hope you do. You knew they were a mistake. Then yes, at that point in time, you're going to say, I regret my previous decision. We all have decisions that we regret. The last piece of the puzzle, work your network. Anytime you have a less than ideal resume, your network is always going to be the secret for being considered for opportunities you wouldn't normally be considered for.
Yeah. So if the hiring manager gets your resume and there's no commentary, nobody tells them anything apart from the bare facts that are on the resume, and they don't even get a cover letter, he could think, oh, this is a job hopper. I'm not even going to bother interviewing this person because they leave every job 18 months after they get it, and I'm just not going to get the value out of hiring this person that I want to get. But if they get your resume from someone you both know, and the person says when handing the resume, I know it looks like she's had a bunch of jobs, but she was laid off from one, her husband's company moved them between states, and then she took some time out to care for her mother when she was ill. The hiring manager has a whole different picture of that resume, and she doesn't need to worry about you leaving in 18 months because it's not some internal boredom that caused these changes, but the external forces. You know, your friend can equally say, hey, I know this looks like a job hopping resume. Like, she never stays at anywhere more than a year, but she's come to see that that's not a really good way to build a career. And she's kind of turned the corner. She's ready to build a career and she really wants to stay in the next place for 5 years or so.
Mark will tell you, and he says it at the Effective Interviewer Conference out loud all the time, based on my resume alone, he never would have hired me. He would not even have brought me in for an interview. Mm-hmm. My background, I started in like healthcare, and then I went into selling houses. Then I went into management at the university. And then I wanted to go into a job at Manager Tools where I was presenting. The only reason that I even got this chance is because I could give a good explanation and I knew them. Like I worked with Manager Tools as a client for 5 years prior to starting here. So I had that going for me. If I only had a job application, no way.
I think I'm pretty sure that the same would happen to me.
Right.
I had a relationship with Mike and Mark. I had been emailing with them on and off for a couple of years before we even met in person and before Mark even offered me. You know, I started working part-time on a freelance basis, and Mark would have never offered that to me had we not been talking behind the scenes for a couple of years. So when you find an opportunity you like the look of, do everything you can to find someone who works there who can introduce you. And when you're looking for opportunities, tell everyone you know, because those people might be the people who are able to provide an explanation that goes with your resume that gets you the interview. Now, they won't get you the job. Resumes don't get you the job. Interviews get you the job, and you're going to have to be really good at interviewing too. But the first start is to get into the interview. Those people that you talk to will find you opportunities, and they will vouch for you. They will say, hey, this is my friend, this is someone I know, and they're a good guy, and I know this resume doesn't show them in the best light, but, and that's gold. That is worth more than anything in the job search process.
Absolutely. So, in summary, a job hopping resume, it can't be helped, right? It happened. There's nothing you can do about it. You can't change what happened in the past. The knowledge that you are at a disadvantage, right? You're not starting at zero, you're starting at negative 10. That knowledge allows you to work on two big levers in your favor. So your interviewing skills and your network, use them. Whatever you do, do not change your resume.
Awesome. Thanks, Sarah.
Perfect. Thanks, Wendy.
Bye, everyone. Thanks, everyone. We'll be back with more resume help and other career topics next week.
If you enjoyed this podcast and you want the how-tos of management wherever you are, check out the free Manager Tools mobile app. It's available on both iOS and Android devices. Go to the Apple Store or the Google Play Store and download the Manager Tools app. Just search for Manager Tools in the respective store, or go to the Manager Tools website, www.manager-tools.com, and you'll find the links on the bottom of the homepage. Once you've installed the Manager Tools app, you'll have access to all the Manager Tools and Career Tools shows anytime, anywhere you want. With easy searching of podcasts by category, using the map of the universe, or using built-in search functions, it couldn't be easier. Additionally, if you're Manager Tools personal licensee, you'll have easy access to all the show notes right from the app whenever you want. Go to the App Store and download the Manager Tools mobile app. You'll be happy you did.